Welcome back to this special hour-long edition of Consider This as we try to make sense of the current political crisis in the country. I'm Melissa Idris, of course, with me, Sharad Kutin. We continue our conversation with Dr. Ambika Srinivasan, lawyer and activist. And joining us now, YB Nik Nazmi, Nik Ahmad, MP for Sitiawangsa and PKR Organising Secretary. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Okay, so let's start with you first, Nazmi, in terms of your where you and your party stands. What is the most acceptable resolution, the most acceptable outcome you'd like to see?
I think, we go to the back to the constitution. Yeah. And obviously, if anyone, any candidate, which seems to, as of now, is unable to achieve a simple majority, that person obviously should be given a chance to lead the government. But before we go to elections, I mean, I agree that elections should not be the immediate choice, but a person that is able to form a minority government and use that as a starting point, whether to get a few more MPs, to achieve a comfortable government, or to achieve some form of supply, understanding with some of the parties, that can be worked on with the biggest bloc. And the biggest bloc that we have as of now, official numbers on record are at least 92. Pakatan Harapan, what remains, Keadilan, DAP and Amanah, are 92 members. So I think this is the biggest bloc by far, and I think it should be given the chance to be able to form a government.
Now, this, are you suggesting, as some people do, that we could actually have a functioning minority government that gets support, as Pakatan Harapan did from Warisan, for instance? They're not formally part of the coalition, but they come in as supporters and they get some cabinet positions. Is that what you're proposing?
Yes, that's what I'm proposing. And, even this past few days, effectively, actually, Tun Dr. Mahathir, as Prime Minister 7, has stepped down. He is functioning now as interim PM. So, what can be done, one of the possible ways is that, Datuk Sri Anwar being appointed as the Prime Minister and is given time to prove that the government is being able to function and is being able to govern before, if worst case, if confidence collapses, then we go to elections. But what I disagree is that we cannot say that, cost and all that is a major concern for elections, because when we go to elections, it's about our values and we have to go back. The power, ultimately, I'm here, I got a salary, is because of the people. And if the government fails to function properly, then we have to go back to the people. But that should be the last option.
So you heard Dr. Ambika make those comments earlier. Her argument is, of course, the cost, the current situation of the economy, the COVID-19 outbreak, and you're saying you don't care.
No, I'm saying it's the last choice. That's why I'm saying the most important thing is to give a chance for a minority government to function. And there is precedent even in this country, where in Perak, in Selangor, in 69, at that time the alliance did not win a majority of the seats. Mm. But for example, in Selangor, Tan Chee Koon's Gerakan joined alliance to appoint Datuk Harun Idris as the Menteri Besar, but stayed in the opposition bench so that at least a government was formed.
Okay, there's one issue that's been raised, Nazmi, which is the question of the quality of this government. And Dr. Mahathir has made the argument that he can't bring together the best minds to resolve the challenges that Malaysia faces at this point in time if he's tied to political parties and if he's encumbered by politicking. Do you buy that argument that he makes?
It's a very dangerous argument. You look at Japan in the 1930s, there's unity, governments of national unity that worked. Britain during war, during the Depression. But, I don't think, this is actually due to a manufactured crisis that happened in Sheraton. Coronavirus, other countries are having worse spates of coronavirus, and we've actually handled it quite well. Dr. Zul, Dr. Wan Azizah, Lee Boon Chye handled it quite well. I think the problem was, I'm not against, and I believe we are not against bringing outside talents, which our system is always open. We've had corporate leaders and all that who joined the government in the past. But what I think is problematic is in the previous administration, the first phase of Pakatan Harapan government was the fact that it wasn't the best people that were appointed to the ministries. And that was a major problem. And ultimately, yes, the, each ministers have their failings, but the prime minister then bears the ultimate responsibility. So how can we then expect the same person to form a government of national unity and to be better, so to speak, than the first part of the Pakatan Harapan government?
Ambika, would you like to respond to that?
No, I'm sorry. I thought the way in which it worked, I meant perhaps I got it wrong, was that the parties actually gave their suggestions to the Prime Minister, who then made the selection. I think that that even used
some
to
names that were submitted by PKR, for example, were not appointed.
Yeah, whatever it is, the Prime Minister has the ultimate, obviously, right to say yes or no. That's how it happens in Barisan Nasional as well. But what I'd say is this: a lot of what has occurred. I mean, I disagree with you that it's only the Sheraton. That changed everything, as if everything was perfect until then. Sorry,
I didn't say it was perfect.
Yeah, it's, I didn't a say lot it was of perfect. It was self-inflicted wounds. Yeah. Sorry,
but I did not say it was perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it was actually painful. Sorry, you wake up every morning and you hear of another quarrel between this person and that person. So, but look, you know, we're all human. We're going to learn from these mistakes, and I think that's what we should do, instead of trying to, you know, that we really should be looking forward. And I think one other reason, by the way, we shouldn't have elections is the Undi 18 hasn't been gazetted. Mm. So we're going to disenfranchise 7 million youth if we have a snap election. And I don't think that's something we should allow.
Right. It seems to me that you both are actually agreeing on one thing, which is that polls either is undesirable or not the first move,
choice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The first choice. So the question is, what is the shape of the next income? Nazmi seems to want to go back to a Pakatan-centred government. That seems your suggestion. Ambika, are you? Do you have any preferences? Do you think, as Tien suggested, that it could be a much broader one, bringing presumably PAS, UMNO, and other parties, GPS, that not represented the last cabinet, into the cabinet?
Okay, this is what I think. Whoever succeeds, whether it is the Pakatan Harap, whoever succeeds with the vote on Monday, and I hope there is a resolution for everyone's sake, I would still recommend a unity coalition cabinet. Now, it is time. It is, you see, for me, we've become so polarized, and if we keep on carrying on with this kind of a dialogue and never ever meet in the middle, our race relations will never improve. It really is time to force people to sit at the same table. If you're not prepared to sit, you don't get a seat on cabinet. So you offer it with these conditions that they have to support. If they're not prepared to sit at the table, fine, you don't have a seat at the table. But those who have genuine interest of the country at heart, they must rise above the occasion. And let me tell you something else. This minority government, may I respond to that
sure.
issue? Take your point, that is a possibility. My concern is, though, it really isn't about political parties. I mean, I know they have whatever numbers and so on. I'm more concerned about what is your long-term vision for the country and bringing stability. No, that's fine.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm concerned because minority government, of course, you have to work with everyone. That really has been the problem, though, hasn't it? Nobody can work with anybody else. There is a distinct lack of trust.
Uh-huh.
So I am saying everybody cool off. We get this unity cabinet only, yeah, I'm talking about. Get the best people in the parties and get them all working together for the country. And I think civil society should play a role in providing the input as to how we think envision this unity government.
Okay. Yeah. You were itching to say something.
Sorry.
Yes.
No, well, I think you know, we're not stopping. Again, I say, you know, nothing's to stop a minority government from doing that. And I think the major problem, there are three things, right? First is that you have, whether we like it or not, Azmin and co. have been major destabilizers in Pakatan Harapan from the beginning, even before the elections. Before the elections, they wanted to work with PAS. They were against the Mahathir Anwar deal. Okay, and Mahathir Anwar deal was put to the people, and we were voted in on that. Okay, that was very clear. But then suddenly you had people like Azmin saying that, oh, let's give Tun Dr. Mahathir you know, until the end of term. And that's problematic because that goes against our manifesto.
Right.
So I think that's one. Secondly, is that when you have, when you talk about racial harmony, you talk about polarization, agree that Pakatan Harapan is not perfect. But ultimately, when you include PAS and UMNO, who I think has been responsible for many of the problems that we face in terms of race and religious relations in the country, it'll be worse. And I think let it be a clear choice. We lost the last few by-elections to UMNO. If the next election comes and we lose, and that's how the people want it, and I think let's be fair. You know, I think we'd be happy to be in the opposition. But at least there's a clear choice of values between those who want to pursue a racial, religious line of government and those who want to pursue a more multiracial vision for the country. I think that is very clear. You know, but if you put it to the people, and we have to trust, this was how the Constitution was founded, this was how the system was meant to be, you know, we should trust for it to work.
Okay, well, can I come back very quickly to what you said about Azmin Ali and co. going against the manifesto, right? Could you comment on the allegations or the aspersions cast on Anwar Ibrahim? You know, talk of him being impatient, talk of him being ambitious or having ambition to want to succeed into the prime ministership. So could you comment on those aspersions?
We've been transparent on that in the sense that the deal has always been Mahathir as Prime Minister 7, Anwar as Prime Minister 8. Yes, there was no mention of timeline, but it did mention that immediately, Anwar was a political prisoner at that time. And the mention was that, you know, Anwar will be released, pardon will be worked out from him, he'll play a role in government, and he will be appointed as PM. Prime Minister Mahathir then said that I'll be in power for about 1 to 2 years. That was on public record. Then he said up to APEC, and a few people supported him. Some of us disagreed, but eventually, in the last meeting, it was a presidential council that involved Tun Mahathir. There were some disagreements, and it was Anwar who said we leave it to Tun and you know, to decide. And he said that we will, you know, I'll decide soon after APEC. No, that was the thing, and that was fine. All right. So what I'm saying is that, and Azmin was at that meeting. What happened after that was the Sheraton move. So the fact that he was at that meeting. You know, Tun has already publicly said that he will go after APEC, and Anwar has already said let Tun decide on that. Then why should the Sheraton move happen?
Amir, do you think that working through all this are personalities? People who trust Dr. Mahathir, people who trust Anwar, different styles of leadership, much stronger with Dr. Mahathir, much more consensual with Anwar, it's said to be. Is that what is the subtext of all this drama?
You see, the drama has to stop, sorry. So blaming this person and all, I don't even want to get into it because I don't know all the facts. So, you know, but this is where I'm saying, are you as leaders or are you not prepared to rise above all your differences for the sake of the country? And when I say PAS and UMNO must be in the room, I'm talking about good people from PAS and UMNO. There has to be at least one or two. So,
is that
now who's to decide?
Is that who's to decide? Yeah, who's to decide?
Who has the monopoly of wisdom?
No. Right. No, there has to be consultation. That's why I say you can create this model. Be creative. If your worry is consultation, then that has to be built into the system.
Is Dr. Mahathir a person that can lead this? Because he's not known to be consultative. He's not known to be open, right? I mean, if we be really honest, what he's been arguing for is really a rule by himself. He wants to be the man to choose everybody accountable only to him. Is he the man to lead your model of government?
Okay. It has to be the man who ultimately enjoys the majority in parliament. That's not for us to choose. Mm. So it may be Tun Mahathir, it may be, you know, anyone else, Anwar Ibrahim. So it has to be that person who takes charge. And at the end of the day, coming back to Tun Mahathir, he's made some of the boldest appointments that we've seen. First woman CJ, first woman, you know, so many women have been appointed. You have Tommy as AG, you have, LGE as finance minister, against all odds, okay? And there were people within PH who objected,
and
as I understand
too.
It, you see?
UMNO and PAS as well,
of
who you want to include in your government. Yeah.
No, of course, but he stood up to that, all right? Anyway, I'm not here to talk about the good points of either one. For me, that's politics, and I'm not interested. I'm only interested to know, and I've used this phrase before, the difference between a politician and a statesman is the politician is concerned with the next elections, a statesman with the next generation. Do we have enough statesmen to say to stop talking about all this bickering and differences, which actually we don't want to know the details. I don't want to know the details. I want to know whether you're going to be a stable government, whether you are. You see, you talk about exclude pass, exclude UMNO. But as a minority government, you have to work with them. You've got to go and talk to them,
well.
You see? Other parties, of course, all parties. So what I'm saying is, so can you do that if you have this hatred? Sorry, you've got to meet halfway at some point.
No, I think I'm happy to know that Ambiga said she'll be fair to both Tun and Anwar. So if Anwar has the biggest block and has the majority of support,
of
she too will support this idea.
But what I'm saying is that... My turn to respond.
So I think, but the problem that we have is that I agree, people shouldn't be thinking about the next elections. And I think at the end of the day, that's why we're not talking about the cost of elections. I think, as I said, if this minority government fails, we have to be prepared to face elections. Because the moment you are talking about the cost of elections, the moment you're talking about the cost of politicking and all that, it sounds good at first. You know, it sounds appealing. But then you look at, I mean, just watch Star Wars. Just read V for Vendetta. No, they are a fiction for a reason.
I mean, that's Hollywood.
But there's a greater truth. It's based on real history. So okay. I think that that's my concern is that when we, you know, in fact, the Alliance Party worked quite well. 69 happened, and we can understand why the Barisan Nasional was needed, but look at what Barisan Nasional did afterwards.
All right, so we've had a good discussion. We've got a couple minutes left. I do want to hear from the both of you. On Monday, it's a big deal, this coming Monday. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you expect is likely to happen? I know what you want to happen, an ideal scenario, but what do we think is going to happen on Monday? Nazmi.
Well, you know, all the MPs, I think, Oba One has met the King as well to record our preferences. So in Parliament, there might be some, because even from Tun Dr. Mahathir's own party, there's now mixed signals, you know, about Muhyiddin whether Muhyiddin might be more open towards UMNO and PAS.
So what is your
I don't know about that,
answer.
But, you know, as far as Pakatan Harapan is concerned, the solid block of 92 will go for Anwar Ibrahim. Whether we will add to that or not, I think, you know, you have to wait for the announcement, and I'm not here to make the prediction.
I hope there is a strong signal and there is a strong majority for whoever it is. As far as I'm concerned, that follows the constitution. That is the way we have to go. So we just make sure that the law takes its course. And I'm very happy it's going to the floor. That's exactly where it should be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. That's all the time we have for this special edition of Consider This. Our colleagues on the news desk will be bringing you all the latest updates as the situation develops tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris with Mishra Kutin, bidding you a good night.